Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
Well, everybody likes a good gossip things now and then. We all like to kind of hear what's going on maybe in those circles that we are not privy to. Well, maybe we're going to be privy to them today about the Olympics. My guest is Dr. Scott Weiss. He's a licensed physical therapist and board-certified athletic trainer and a bit of an insider. So, Scott, tell us about this year's Olympics. What are some of the things that are going on that are interesting, that are a little bit, you know, fun to hear about, and maybe even some things that are a little bit controversial?
Well, there are a lot of controversies around the Sochi Games this year, but, you know, I guess controversy happens to hit almost every Olympic Games that goes, you know, down. For the most part, off the top of my head, the land in Sochi, and I forget their exact name, I think they're called the Circassians, they believe that that was their land, that the Russians in the early 1900s or late 1800s took over that land and they were displaced. So that's their homeland. So there's always an ethnic group that thinks that that is their homeland, and there are always threats for the Olympic Games being on their homeland. So that was one major issue in Sochi, is really just where it was taking place. The other big issue was the safety of the LGBT party. So everybody knows that there's so much anti-gay propaganda in Russia. I think in 2013, Putin, you know, banned any non-traditional sexual relations. And, you know, we have the exact opposite mindset here in America. So that was, you know, that was a big issue. And I would say, you know, there were a lot of Olympic protests at that time. And, you know, Putin was clear about his feelings. So the safety of the LGBT community was really, really, you know.
And what have they done for that?
You know, at this time, I'm not sure. I wasn't in Sochi, but I was at the Olympic Training Center. So a lot of what I heard was kind of, you know, through the inside. And everybody's protected at the Olympic Village. They really make sure that people don't wander off too far from the Olympic Village, do not don all the Olympic gear. So then people that are outside of the village won't get any idea. So there's a lot of protection inside the village. And Putin did put an enormous amount of people on the outskirts of the village and really keep it on lockdown. So they're protected in a lot of different ways.
Do you think that causes some kind of a don't tell policy? I mean, are some of the LGBT Olympians keeping that sort of under wraps just while they're there because they're in a country like Russia?
You know, I think everybody has a different mindset and everybody kind of takes that a little differently. Some people realize that when you're in another country, you might have to hold back a little bit. This is, you know, you're not in Kansas anymore, so to speak. So I think some people are taking that side and erring on the side of being quiet, and there are other people that are real open about it. So I think it's in an individual basis, Melanie, that, you know, each individual person is really doing what they think to be the right thing. And, I mean, you can look online. There are tons of issues on online going on with that right now.
Now, what about the Russian coverage? Do they have limitations? Do they have censors? Do they have things that they're not letting their people see that maybe we're seeing on the Today Show or any of those things? Is there any issues surrounding that?
Yeah, but I think some of it is squeaking by, meaning they're trying to hold down as much as they can. But even the controversy of, I don't know if you've heard about the killing of the stray dogs. You know, in Sochi, there are a lot of stray dogs. So instead of kind of just boarding them or putting them in a different area, the Russians have been killing these stray dogs. So, you know, that was something that they tried to hide from Americans and tried to hide from really the whole world, but it slips through. So they're doing the best they can at trying to hide some of these things, but it is coming through.
Yeah, you know, I read a little bit about it, and it was kind of disturbing that they were doing this and trying to hide it. But in this day and age, do you think there's many things that even in a country like that, or if it was in, you know, a North Korea or something, that there's anything that is truly can be hidden in the way that people have cell phones and pictures and social media and Twitter and networking? And do you think that different than other games in the past, maybe even different than London, which I know you were a part of, that there is so much more out there and
you're right.
People can get it all?
Melanie. you're right. With social media these days and cell phones and picture phones and all that, I think no doubt about it that things are getting out there a lot more. And, you know, people will always have a camera up or they're always watching with their phone. So it's a lot harder, 100%, to kind of keep things hidden these days. And that's why we call them controversies, because they do come out. If we didn't know about them, we wouldn't be talking about them. So you're right. With this new day and age, the digital era, I think that a lot of things are kind of squeaking past and getting past the people that are trying to hold it back. You know, for instance, you know, knowing that Sochi wasn't really even a winter area. It was a summer resort town. And why are the Olympics there? There are controversies around that and all the $50 billion that were spent to constantly keep that area cold and, you know, and snow on the ground and keep all the courses up to par. Again, where it was another huge controversy.
Now, what about the Chobani yogurt? Do you know what happened with that?
I don't know. I don't know what happened with that. Maybe you can inform me.
Well, no, there was something where they wouldn't let it in. It couldn't get past customs, and they're a major, you know, sponsor of the United States Olympic team, and it wouldn't pass customs. So they said there was about 100,000, you know, things of Chobani yogurt sitting there, not able to get through customs. Now, what about people, Dr. Weiss, like Shaun White? At the beginning, I heard there were some things going on with him, and I haven't really heard much about him.
Now, you know, I mean, with Shaun, I think, you know, there's a lot of pressure going in. He had so much pressure, you know, going into his, you know, his races, and he hurt his wrist, I think, in the slope style on practice one day. And what I think really happened with him is he didn't want a chance you know, losing or really not placing on the medal or, you know, stand with the half pipe, which is what he does best. So I think he decided after his sprained wrist that he didn't want to chance it. And I do know that that was true. The injury did happen, but I think he was definitely being cautious, and that's what we heard. And I do believe that to be the truth, because he did want to succeed in his in the half pipe.
Sure, and, you know, I know that sometimes just some of the advertising and all that pre, you know, build-up is enough to cause that pressure. And I can't even imagine what kind of pressure these guys go through. Give us just a little bit of your inside knowledge of the pressure that these athletes are under.
You know, we say it's, you know, they're training all the time. It's not every 4 years, it's every day. When you think of something every single day of your life, multiple hours a day, and then you actually get to the point where you're competing, the stress level is so high. What I've been realizing from, you know, being at 3 Olympic Games, 2 Pan American Games, that when you get to that level, it is about the mindset and it is about putting some of those issues aside. And that's why I was explaining that meditation is so important for these athletes at that level, to really maintain their center of mind, not their center of gravity, but their center of mind, and be able to perform right. That really is so challenging, and, you know, it's really something that's been thought of their whole life. So the pressures are huge, and the sports psychology aspect of it is tremendous at that time. And believe it or not, all the athletes do see sports psychologists. A lot of them are getting more into meditation and understanding how to control their minds and emotions.
Well, and I find it interesting, we only have a minute or so left, Dr. Weiss, but when you mentioned the weather, and that's more of a summer, if you saw, I think it was yesterday or the day before, there was fog and rain, and the snowboarders came and, you know, to do one of their slope styles. It was crazy. They couldn't even, you know, see. And so just in the last 30 seconds, if you would, just kind of wrap it up for us, you know, just about the Olympics and what you've seen.
Well, yes, the weather was definitely different. 100%, it was snowing, and it went to rain, and then it went to snow, and then it went to rain again. There were people walking around in shorts and T-shirts. So it definitely did not seem to be the total winter environment. But the one main thing I could end with is every athlete had to compete on the same stage, on the same surface. So no matter what, you train as hard as you can for these bad days and the bad weather. It's not all about skiing and snowboarding and sunshine.
Great information. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott Weiss. You're listening to Train Your Body, Motivate and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine right here on Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.